are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, actress, author, evangelist, and co-producer of the award-winning docudramedy STEM, The Movement. And in this year of 2019, the primary focus is to go hard, go bold, and be transparent. And I'm super excited because tonight's guest is a young man that I have known for years. I've shared on his radio show, and I am also doing a film of his, scheduled to film this March of 2019. So let me share a little bit about the young man in which you're going to hear about tonight. He is Carlton T. Clay. This young man is a writer, a producer, a director. He was named one of the top 10 young professionals in Augusta by the Augusta Chamber of Commerce. And in 2018, he was also named one of Georgia's top 40 under 40 professionals by Georgia Trend Magazine. Recently, he's became a editor-in-chief of a magazine, BPN Magazine, of which I was honored to share some tips on the entertainment industry as a contributing writer. He's also a published author with a four-part book series entitled As the Earth Spins. So I want you to be so kind, put your hands together, and give a virtual hand clap to my friend, and now my boss, give it up for Carlton T. Clay. Welcome to the show, Carlton.
Thank you for having me. I'm laughing at the boss part.
I know you are, because as I was about to introduce you, it dawned on me, you're like my boss now. That's good stuff. That's really good stuff. You're actually officially my boss. I'm super excited about it. Carlton, you have been doing some amazing things. You know, I've been following you for years. I watch your content on social media. I watch the engagement of your audiences, and I am in awe of how you're able to accomplish such a diverse body of work, and how you've been consistently just hitting the paint, putting it out there, from new media to film, and now magazine, you're going into that area. You also are a published author. But I know as a person who people look at on a stage and they see where you are now, they don't know where you came from. They don't understand how difficult the road may have been. And they certainly can't comprehend the amount of challenges that you may have lived through. So on tonight's show, Carlton, I want to unpack some things. I want you to share from your heart some of the mountains you've had to overcome. And one of the biggest that I'd love for us to start with, which is a heavy topic, but I think if we get out there and get ahead of it right now, they'll better be able to understand why you are so focused, why you've been so determined, and why you've been so purpose-driven. So share with our listeners, if you will, you know, when some of your challenges started earlier in life.
Okay. Again, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for having me on the show. It's definitely a privilege.
You're
and
honor. Welcome.
I really, really, really appreciate it so much.
Thank you for coming.
No problem. For those who may not know my story, I am a cancer survivor. I was diagnosed with leukemia at the age of 16. I was in the 10th grade when I had it, so my sophomore year of high school. And it was definitely a shock for me because it seemed like it just happened out of nowhere. It's not a family trait or anything, but it's just something that just seems to have happened. I was always an active child, always involved in stuff, something with it at church, at school. I was always doing a lot of things, just as I am now as an adult, but I was doing the same thing as a child and as a teenager. And the February, that month before, I was diagnosed in March of 2002. That February, the month before, I had the flu. And it was weird because it didn't go away. Normally, when I had the flu, it would be like a couple of days to a week, the week or longest. But it just wouldn't go away. And I started having pains in my joints. And it was just, I felt tired all the time. And I was falling asleep in class. I've never done that before. I was falling asleep at school, different things like that. So I finally went to the doctor and my pediatrician. That's when they suspected that I had leukemia, but they sent me to the emergency room. And I went through a couple of tests or whatever, and that was confirmed that I had leukemia. And, again, it's scary because, for me, when you hear the word cancer, like, as soon as you hear it, it's like you're immediately thinking, okay, is my life about to end? So it's like you're just – like, I'm 16, and I was like, there's so much more things I want to do in life, and I'm just – I haven't even started life like that yet, and I'm hit with this, with cancer. Like, what's going to happen next? So I'm just grateful. I thank God for placing his angels, and I mean his angels, also angels that he's placed on earth, meaning the doctors, because they were so nice, and they were so comforting, because, again, I'm a kid. I'm scared. I don't know what's going on. So they're comforting me and my family because it's a lot. Mm. And so it's just amazing. I thank God for them. I thank God for my family because they were there with me every step of the way. And what I've learned, and I'm kind of skipping ahead, but I'm going to come back to it. But what I've learned what I learned going through the treatment, not every kid has their family. And, you have some kids, there's only the mom in the home. And the mom has to work. And the mom has other kids to take care of. So sometimes even when I was going to the clinic or even going to the hospital, kids would be there by themselves. So I was fortunate. I was fortunate to have my family there with me. So I'm forever grateful for them. And I thank God for the foundation that I had in him, you know, because without that, I would have gave up a long time ago as far as with my health, because it's a lot, dealing with chemotherapy, not even just the chemotherapy, but just the thought of having a terminal illness, that just weighs on you. It weighs on you physically. Yeah. It weighs on you. It weighs on you emotionally, and it definitely weighs on you mentally because you're having all these thoughts about what's going to happen. You don't know if the chemo is going to work, or different things, different thoughts going through your head. So dealing with that, dealing with the chemotherapy, that definitely weighs on your body. It kills your immune system because what it does is not only is it killing the bad cells in your body, but it's killing the good cells too. So your immune system is literally shot. So you're in isolation a lot because you can't be around people, or you have to wear a mask and different things like that because you don't want to get sick. Because if you get sick with no immune, if you get sick with no immune system, I mean that could just ultimately kill you. So just dealing with that and
Carlton, you were 16. So what year in school were you?
I was a sophomore.
Did you have to sit a year out of school? You were a sophomore at the time.
And I was definitely – and I love how we're connected because I was going there next. That dealing with – I still had to deal with regular teenage stuff too at the same time.
Yeah.
So not only am I dealing with my sickness, I still had to go to school. get my schoolwork done, and how my schooling works. Like I said, I got diagnosed in March 2002. Mm-hmm. So it was towards the end of the school year again there. So I finished out my sophomore year. I was homeschooled. The teachers would come to my house and give me my work, and I would do it. Because that first few months, wow, I couldn't be around a lot of people. So
right.
So I was at home doing that. My junior year actually was my worst year, because I literally had no immune system. There was a bad sickness going on in Augusta around that time, so I had to stay home from school. And I had got radiation treatment too around that time, and that took a lot out of me. It was just a lot, and they put me on, because even though with my cancer, I had cancer in March 2002. I was in remission 2 months. I was in remission 2 months later. So that May of 2002, I was in remission. However, they still have to. They still put you through a 3-year treatment. So I was still, even though I was in remission, I was still getting chemotherapy for three years.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So you went. So the cancer came. You were diagnosed with it March of 2002, and then it went in remission just a few months later. But you had to continue getting chemotherapy for 3 years.
I had to continue because what they do, they put you. It's hard to explain, but they put you on this medical track. And they have this thing, and they put you through and you have to go through the entire system because how they explain it is they want to make sure that the cancer doesn't come back. So,
because leukemia is a cancer of the blood? Is that why?
Right. Yes, cancer of the blood. Right. Right.
Oh.
So, and even to this day, I still don't really understand fully why I had to go through like additional years of treatment, but. You know,
yeah.
I just had to do what I had to do. So, like I said, my junior year of high school, I was still getting chemotherapy, but it was like really intense chemotherapy. I lost a lot of weight. I was like down to like 110, and I'm a kind of big guy. So, for people who see me or whatever, so like if just imagine like I was literally skin and bones. I looked really sickly, and still going through that and still having to do schoolwork. So it was a lot for me. I was actually on the brink of just like giving up on everything because I was tired all the time, and mm-hmm. it just seemed like too much, and I prayed to God. I said, God, if this is it, then you know, just take me while I'm asleep, because it was just, and that was one of my prayers, honestly, because it got so much for me to handle.
You know, Carlson, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying this is kind of the first time I'm actually like admitting this, because I've never really told that part to anybody. But it just honestly, if I'm honest, it became a lot. It was a lot to bear for me at especially at that age.
And one of the things that I was about to say to you, because as I'm listening to you, my heart is going out to A. Teen years are tough years anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Hearing that you've been diagnosed with a terminal disease at 16 while you're in that teenage phase, I can only imagine, you know, the thoughts, the questions, you know, the why me, the, you know, what does this mean? Am I going to be alive? This is hard. And then you're tired. And then your body's having poison pumped into it in order to kill off what is bad, but it is also killing off what is good. And I know a lot of our listeners out here today have had to face challenges that they didn't see coming. It blindsided them. You know, this cancer blindsided you. There was no warning signal. There was no hereditary disease in your family for that. Just like divorce blindsides people, just like job loss blindsides people, just like, you know, the government shutdown and not having a paycheck is blindsiding some people. I want to kind of speak to that dark place, because you said, and you admitted two things. One, that it was the first time you've admitted that, you know, in a public setting. But two, if you had to be honest with yourself, you know, Lord, if you could just, you know, take me in my sleep, because it's the battle seemed too difficult. The mountain seemed too high. The challenge seemed too big for a person of 16, 17 to bear and handle. Yet, Carlton, that was 16, and I know you've got to be in you're at least over 40 because you were nominated or you were recognized as a top person 40 under 40. So from 16 to 40, you've accomplished a lot of stuff. So tell our listeners, you know, I know you said that you were raised in the Word, and if you didn't have your faith, you probably couldn't have made it. But tell us, walk us through, if you could, and that's, of course, going to that 16-year-old self, walk us through what was the turning point. That if that was the tipping point of how do I keep doing this? This is so hard. Oh, my goodness. I'm you're watching your nails turn dark, I'm sure. You're watching, you know, the sickness, the pain that kind of comes with that because it gets worse before it gets better. If that was
right.
The turning point of darkness, what was the turning point, walk us through, what was the turning point of I'm going to fight this and I'm going to fight it with everything I got left? If I only have 2% battery energy left, I'm going to fight it with this 2% and I'm going to put all of my focus and all of my energy into that. How did you make that shift from, Lord, if I can go to sleep and be done with this, to I trust you?
Right. Funny thing is I have an uncle, my dad's brother, and he's not a regular church going person. And I was with him one day, and he was riding the car with him. It was one of those days where I could be around people. And we was riding the car, and it was silent one thing. We weren't saying anything, just riding. And he was like, nephew, you cannot give up. And I don't know where that came from, but he just he just said, he was like, nephew, you can't give up, nephew, you gotta stay here, and so I looked at him and I didn't say nothing. I just looked at him and he looked back at me and he did. We just kept driving, and so that was one of the things that stuck with me during that time, and also. During the time of, again, no immune system, whatever, I got the shingles really bad. Like,
oh my.
I got the shingles. And that put me in isolation for about a week. I was isolated from everybody. I couldn't even see my family. You know, they would have to wear, like, it would be like one person at a time, and they would have to wear these big suits or whatever. But during that time, they put me on a medicine, and I didn't know I was allergic to it at the time. I was allergic to it, and so I started having hallucinations, like really bad. Like it was like I lost my mind for a second. Like I wasn't in my right mind. I was having hallucinations. My personality had changed dramatically. But in that time, I was having dreams. And it's just, I felt like God was personally speaking to me and personally telling me, you're healed. Keep going. I got you. It was just different. I would see all these colors. And it was, and to this day, I can't really explain it. And I can't fully, I still don't fully understand it. But I know that was God speaking to me. And and I remember, like I said, again, on the outside, it seemed like, again, I had lost my mind for a second because my personality had shifted completely. It was I kind of freaked my family out a little bit. And I remember my mom, she went into the room and she cried because, you know, my parents had a lot going on too, because not only was I sick, my little sister, when she was living at the time, she had cerebral palsy. So they was dealing with her too. So we had a lot going on in the family. It was a lot.
Yeah.
But God is good, and, you know, I am just, when they finally discovered that I was allergic to the medicine, because one day I decided not to take the medicine. My mom was trying to give it to me. I kept my mouth shut. I was like, I literally clenched my jaw because I was like, I'm not supposed to take this medicine.
You knew something was wrong. You may have not known what. You didn't know that it was exactly that, but you knew, I'm not feeling myself. So something's got to change.
Right. Right. Exactly. So I didn't take the medicine. My mom told the doctor, He's not taking it. Come to find out, I was allergic to it. So that was causing the hallucinations and everything. But even during that time, when Satan was trying to attack me, God still had me, and I recognized that. So that was the shift between my uncle saying that random thing that he said and going through that week of whatever the attack was happening to me. That was the shift for me to, all right, we got to keep fighting. We got to keep going.
My God. You know, this is a part of why I knew you needed to be on my show and why I knew I wanted to interview you, because this is real talk. And this is, you know, where the rubber meets the road. And this is how you really fight warfare. And this is when, you know, health advocates and patient advocating is so imperative. You were a kid,
right,
yet you knew something wasn't right. And how many times have people heard about having an allergic reaction? And generally, it's something that shows up on the outside or some physical, external something that people can see. But you're hallucinating, which means it's even harder to put your finger on what could be causing that. And then your personality shifts. Very rarely, I'm sure, is there a personality shift or a hallucination aspect to an allergic reaction from a medication. But I want to put a pin in that for a second, because there's a caller on the line. Caller, if the last four digits are 0800, you're on live the OMG show with Carlton Clay. Welcome to the show.
Hi, this is Paulita. I just wanted to say great show again, Mara, and to your guests, thank you for not giving up. Thank you. Thank you, because I wouldn't be here to hear your story. So thank you. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you very much.
What a blessing. Thank you so much, Paulita. Oh, that's the sentiment of my heart as well. So glad you are still here. Glad you didn't give up. Glad you told the devil no. In your 16, 17 year mind, you knew you had to fight back and fight for your life. Thank you, Paulita, for calling in and sharing those comments. I'm sure they blessed Carlton tremendously. What a joy to have someone say they wouldn't have been able to hear you give this testimony. That's a part of why we do OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show, because stories like this need to be exposed so that people can have the tools to walk through this thing called life, but more importantly, so that they know they are not alone. You know, everybody has challenges and problems and struggles. And so to hear that at 16, chemo and radiation, and then for an additional 3 years, you had to endure chemo, is a story that we don't get to hear all of that. You know, we don't always get to hear it and then go through shingles on top of that. So once that turning point took place and you knew, okay, God, you got me. I'm going to trust you because I know you had given your heart to the Lord already by that time. Tell me how the inspiration came for a production company that you started. You started a production company called Victory Productions, and I believe it started on stage, and now it is, of course, in film and in new media. But can you tell me where the inspiration came for Victory Productions and what it entails?
I can. I've always been writing. I've always loved to write. I love creating stories. I think I'm a creative. I was created to be a creative, and I love that aspect of myself. But as far as the company itself, honestly, I always imagine myself just writing, you know, writing for other people, just writing, sending stuff, all doing different things like that. I never really imagined myself starting a production company. What ended up happening was, even before the sickness, and I didn't know the steps of the industry. You know, when you're a child, you see you have big dreams. You know, I was like, I'm gonna find this address somewhere. And of course, the internet was just kind of starting when I was younger. But you're gonna find, for instance, I wanted to write for Family Matters one day, so I found like the Burbank address, not knowing it wasn't the right address. But I just found it and sent in some words. Of course, you know, just again, being that kid, having that big imagination that I wanted to, you know, let my voice be heard through my writing. So I've always been writing. But as far as the Victory Productions part, it started back in the hospital. I was in the hospital bed, and I had just learned how to write a script. I actually looked online. I didn't have any script software, but I learned how to set the tabs, and I started writing scripts. And I was in the bed, and I was reading. I can't remember what I was reading. It might have been the Bible, but I'm not sure exactly what I can't remember what I was reading. But I was reading, and then this victory. Victory came to me. Like, I was already thinking about, I have victory over this disease, but it came to me as a production company name. And I asked my mom, I said, what you think about Victory Productions? She said, I like that.
Wow.
So it just kind of,
wow,
that's what it was. So the company was Victory Productions. And I could just say that I was mostly inspired to start because God didn't allow me to stop, meaning he didn't allow me to stop in my sickness. So that's what motivated me to start my own company. So that's what it was.
Wow. And so it started on stage, and then how did you go from stage to new media and doing, internet web series?
Right. I love this. This is a great story. I love this story. Like I said, I started on stage. I was doing theater, doing at my church, doing different plays. The first play I did was called Speak to My Heart. It was written by Angela Griffin. I was in the play when I was 12, so I decided I wanted to do the play again. I asked her for her blessing. She gave it to me, and that was the first play I ever directed. The next play I did was my first play that I actually wrote, and it was called Leukemia and Me, which was about my journey dealing with leukemia as a teenager.
Oh, my.
So that started that, and I did theater. I continued to do it, and I went to Georgia State. I graduated from high school. In 2004, on time, mind you. And real quick, let me jump here real quick. I had a conference with my team. This is during my junior year. Again, I'll tell you, I missed a lot of my junior year because of sickness and things. But I had a conference with all my teachers. And I want to give a shout-out to my guidance counselor, Donna Williams. I'm not sure if she's listening or not, but she was my advocate. And she's another angel on earth that God placed there for me because – she was definitely my advocate, and without her, I would not have gotten through high school on time. And we had a conference, and all my teachers were saying, well, Carlton, maybe you should sit out a year. Maybe you should graduate a year later. And I was not feeling that because all these people I've went to school with, like I've been with these people. Davidson Fine Arts School is a middle and high school, so I've been at that school since seventh grade. So I grew up with these people, and there was no way in the world I was going to graduate a year later graduate without my friends. So I wasn't doing it. I wasn't hearing what they were saying. I said, no, I can do it. I'm going to make it happen. I'm going to graduate on time. And Ms. Donna Williams was my advocate. She made sure I got my schoolwork. Then she actually set extra time for me to make sure so I could come in and study and different things like that. She was indeed my advocate, and I just thank God for her every day. But I graduated on time, 2004, and I was not hearing that year later stuff. I was like, I'm graduating on time. And I ended up, and I did. With the 90 GPA, I had an A,
that's what
I had an
I'm
A GPA
about.
At high school. Yeah. So I graduated on time with an A, with honors. So that was indeed a testament to God and just the determination that he put inside of me. But back to the production part, I graduated from Davidson, went to Georgia State in Atlanta, and we had a station. It's called GSTV, and it's basically the access channel for the school. And I wanted to do a show kind of like Different World-ish, but more of a drama. And I wanted to do something a scripted show that people could watch, that they could relate to, a show about problems that college students were dealing with while being away at school. And we had nothing on that. There was nothing on the Access Channel. They were showing like music videos or other little silly things. But I was like, this would be the first scripted show on the station. I feel like this is something that could be huge and that could be helpful. Not only just big entertainment wise, but it could be helpful to students that may need some encouragement or some inspiration. So
yeah,
I pitched the show. I actually shot it. Now, mind you, this is 2005, 2006, and even though I had some production training, I still was a novice. So I was out, and again, I started out in theater, so I'm still thinking theater-wise, how the shots and stuff. I wasn't thinking about, like, different shots and all that other stuff. I just got the camera.
Right.
put on a tripod, press record, let's act in front of the camera, let's do it. That was my thinking. So I shot it, and I wrote all the scripts out. I shot the first episode, and I wrote all the scripts out. And so I was trying to get meetings with the general manager, and the crazy thing was I worked at the school newspaper, so my office was right across the hall from the TV station. So it literally was just a 2 steps over there, and I could go over there. And I was talking with him about it. He's like, yeah, that sounds good. Sounds interesting. I gave him the DVD. He never watched it. I kept – whenever I see him, I said, did you watch the DVD yet? He never watched it. Some months went by, and I was so discouraged. I was like, well, I guess it's not going to work. So I told my friend. My friend at the time, his name is Lamont Johnson. He's still my friend, but he's away, you know, being a father. But I talked to him at the time, and I said, hey, man, I was telling him what's going on. And he was like, bro, why don't you just put it on the internet? Now, mind you, YouTube back then, this is 2005, 2006, YouTube had just started, really, and it only gave you could only upload 2 minutes. So your video's going to be 2 minutes max. So that's right. Where we're at culturally then. So he said, I'm going to build you a website, and you can put your videos, on the website. And I said, man, that would be dope. So that's how we started. That's how I started. He built me a website. I will upload the videos to the website. And my first show was called College Days. And I got my friends that I knew, they had no interest in acting. Yeah. And they was like, they did it. I told them what the show was about. They said, Carlton, we got you. We're gonna make it happen. And they, out of their hearts, they would come and we would do the scenes. And it was, I did 2 seasons at Georgia State. I graduated and did 3 more when I moved back to Augusta. So it was just, I always give a shout out to my Georgia State friends, because without them, I would not really have started in web series at all. And also a big shout out to my friend Lamont, because he wouldn't have kept pushing and getting inspired me, then none of this would have ever happened.
You know, there are so many nuggets in this story that that I think a lot of us in the entertainment industry can relate to, you know, from guerrilla filmmaking to not knowing how to do it, but knowing you need to do it. And that, I think, is a big takeaway for those that are listening. You may not know every step to take. You may not even know the correct way. Carlton said he sent some of his words to studios because he was thinking, okay, let me see if I can get somebody to read it. Because when you really when you want to do this thing as bad as you want air, you're going to try a new way. You're going to try every avenue that you can. You're not going to sleep on something that's keeping you awake writing it. And you're not just writing it so that your journal can be full of words and so that your bookshelf at your house can be a dust collection of journals and tablets or your computer full of scripts and phrases. You're doing it because there's a story that others need to hear. And true storytellers, true entrepreneurs, they push past the I don't know how, and they just do it. And eventually you learn, you go to school, you take classes, you talk to people. And when you talked about doing College Days and your friends who weren't actors, but saying, you know what, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to make this happen for you. That's the kind of team you need to surround yourself with. All of the people that are highly successful or most successful generally had people who knew them who knew them before they knew how to format a script, who knew them before they were a Hollywood household name, who knew them before they were arresting the airwaves in 15 countries. There's always a backstory to the story that people get to find out about at this junction. So I'm going to take a pause for the cause. We're going to do a little commercial break. And when we come back, we'll run through a couple of the other shows you've done, because you've done, I believe it's 13 web series to date, right? Or you're working on at least the 13th one. On the 12th one. So when we come back, we'll kind of touch on a couple of those. And then I want to talk about your magazine, because I believe that people need to, A, know about it, but because it just premiered, I want to make sure that they can get their copy right away. So we're going to take a pause for the cause. You're listening to OMG, the Omar Gale Radio Show. And my special guest tonight is Carlton T. Clay. And we'll be back right after this special announcement.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to OMG, the Mara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Mara Gale, and my special transparent guest tonight is none other than Carlton T. Clay, writer, director, producer, and he's going to share a little bit more about some of the other web series that he's produced. Carlton, I think that your friend Lamont suggesting that he build this website out for you so you can have a place to put your content was a phenomenal suggestion that has reaped you a wonderful following, a great body of work, and you have become an inspiration to all of those who have concepts and ideas but may not have the financial backing of a studio or may not even have sponsorship dollars. How are you getting these projects done? Okay, so you did College Days. You did the piece about Cancer in You, which was a film production, but then you went into, like, The Lion's Den, and I remember Karma. There are so many pieces that you've done. Where are your finances coming from for these shows? What's some of the lessons you've learned in growing in this industry from doing a web series that you didn't know how to format a script per se to where you are now?
That's a great question. As far as to answer your first question about the financing, it's all self-financed. I work a regular 9-to-5. Well, I was working a regular 9-to-5. I worked in news for, I was an intern in 2007, and I left the news business in 2004. So I worked in news for 7 years. So Basically the money that I was getting from my checks was going to the production. And, you know, we have great people that just are here or just want to grind and want to learn. So a lot of people, everybody volunteering their time to be a part of these productions. And, depending on where we shoot, because now, at first I was just shooting in Augusta. Now I'm in Augusta, right. Atlanta. I'm in Raleigh. I'm in Charlotte. Greensboro, North Carolina. I've shot in L.A. a couple of times, so I'm shooting all different places, so taking care of people's, housing and food and different things like that, so, and learning how to do crowd fundraising, that was an important lesson I had to learn, too, just, humbling myself and asking for help, because, asking for help is hard for me. It really is.
Yeah.
And especially when it comes to money.
Yeah.
And then, especially when it comes to money, it was difficult for me. I was like, I don't want to ask people for money or whatever. But it was like, if you want your project to get done, you need the money. Yeah. You don't have it, sir, so you need to ask for it. So that was an important lesson for me.
One of the things that I learned with, because we did a crowdfunding campaign for our film STEM, The Movement, and one of the things that I learned is there are people that want to sow into your vision. And so it's actually almost like we pray to God, Lord, I need the finances for this. Lord, I wish there was a breakthrough. Lord, I wish I could get, and he's like, okay, baby, I got people who believe in your talent, who believe in your gift.
Right.
You're not trying to stand there and ask for money and not give anything in return. You're trying to create perks that would engage and inspire people. You're also trying to, get the film finished so that people can see the content and experience your talent. Which vehicle did you go through to do your crowdfunding?
I used GoFundMe.
Oh, you did GoFundMe. Okay. We did Indiegogo, so I was just curious. That's awesome. So did you, was it a success? When I say successful, because there's different levels of success, I'm not asking if you reached all of the funds, but was it enough to help you help finance one of your projects?
Right. Every time somebody donates, it's a success for me because I can make something happen with a penny. So that's just how, I'm a hustler, I'm a grinder, so I can make stuff happen. But every time we would do a GoFundMe, we reached our goal. The show that required the GoFundMe would be Lover's Lane. That's one of my web series because again, how that started, I filmed that show in Raleigh, and we have different actors coming from all parts. We have different actors coming in from all parts of North Carolina, to be a part of that project. So I'm getting housing. I'm getting, you know, food, make sure everybody's taken care of. I mean, and my thing is, if I can't pay you, I'm going to at least take care of you, make sure you have nothing else to worry about. Only thing you got to worry about is burning your lines. That's it. You know? So, I appreciate my actors and actresses that have stuck with me because they could have left a long time ago, but I appreciate them for sticking with me because this breakthrough is definitely about to happen, like, super soon. God has already shown me. And I'm super excited for the people that have stuck, because God is really about to, do something supernatural, and He has to show me that, because a lot of times you get so caught up in such and such is getting this, and they started later than you, or they're not even they're not putting in as much work as you are, and you feel like you deserve that, but God had to show me I got something different for you. I'm going to do something so different that people have to recognize that it was me who did it. And that's what he had to show me. So my path,
you know, there's a,
is not like somebody else's path.
No two are alike. You know, there's a brilliant story we were sharing, my prayer team and I, my business partners in prayer team, I was sharing a story about the elephant and how long it takes for the elephant to give birth versus how long it takes for, let's say, a dog to give birth. Everybody, it's like you can look at me and see that I'm pregnant with purpose, and I may not give delivery or birth when you expect me to, but trust me, if I'm carrying God's baby, my baby's going to be delivered, and my baby's going to look like its daddy. And so it doesn't matter how long it takes me to give birth to the seed. The goal is to make sure that I keep breathing, I keep feeding it what it needs to be fed in order to nurture it. And then the other half of that lesson, which I heard you drive by, was we can't look at somebody else's grass. Now, that grass may look greener, like they started later and they've gone further, but you don't know if that's turf. You don't know if that grass is paid for. You don't know. You don't know the background behind that grass. You don't know if that grass was artificially planted. You have no idea what it took for that person to walk on that grass. And sometimes the people that we think started late, like I remember when Tiffany Haddish came on the scene, people were like, oh, man, she just blew up overnight. I'm like, no, babe. She's been paying them dues for a long time. Usually when a career is birthed, it didn't start when the movie you saw them in. It started way back when. And when people see you and they see your next project, Peace Be Still, or they see your newest project, the Otis, coming out, they're going to be like, oh, my goodness. And it's like, hey, did you know me when I was doing the cancer play? Did you know me when I was doing College Days? Did you know me when I was doing the Lion's Den and Karma and all of these other things? And so they can look back over your body of work now and say, oh, wow, this brother, he's been grinding for a long time.
Right. Right, absolutely.
You know, and I think people need to know that, because they think they can get it overnight. They think that it can happen in an instant. And granted, daddy can do a suddenly kind of blessing. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. God can supernaturally, exponentially grow your career and give you such radical favor that it looks like you got all green light. However, it's still a process. There's always an incubation process. There's always a development process study and show ourselves approved. So let's go a little bit further. You had Lover's Lane, and you had, I think, Colorblind and the X Factor and some things. What about the project Sweet Mahogany or My Best Friend? Do you have a favorite kid? Because I call my babies. I call my things I give birth to my babies. Do you have a favorite kid?
Right. That's so I'm glad you asked that question, because everybody asks that question all the time. My favorite show of all the shows that I have is actually Brotherhood. And the reason why it's my favorite show is because I wrote that show because I wanted to show the other side of men, meaning that a lot of times as we're growing up as boys, we're told it's not cool to show emotion. You're not supposed to show emotion. You know, be a man up, you know, do all the, you know, just different things that sometimes make us mask our emotions or hide them or bottle it up inside. So for this show, and just for everybody that's listening, a lot of my shows are like real, it's like real content. So some might be a little more mature, but at the end of the day, it's a message behind it. With Brotherhood, it's showing these men and all the trials that they're dealing with, but you get to see them actually deal with it, like the emotions behind it, We got one of the guys he's dealing with finding out that he has HIV. Another guy finds out that his father has cancer, and his father actually dies, but he finds out on his father's deathbed that he has a brother. So he's dealing with that. Yeah, one of the brothers, he has different baby mothers, so he's dealing with his strained relationships with his kids, especially his oldest son. So it's like you see all these men, and you have another man who he has three kids. His wife passed away, so it's like all these men have these problems, and you see how they deal with it. But you really get to see the emotion behind it. So that show is special to me, because that's something important that I really want to convey to people. Now,
because wait, I'm going to put a pin in that for a second, because you, even when you write out the title, it's called Brotherhood. There's a capital A in the middle of that. What's the significance of that? Because I dig the fact that you want to show that men have hardships, that they have hard times, and that they got to have a community, and they, you know, do their thing. I think that's an awesome message to show people, because, you know, contrary to what the news tries to put and portray our men as doing, I think it's awesome that you can expand the lens of that and show, you know, some of the other three-dimensional aspects of our brothers. So why is the A capitalized in Brotherhood?
Well, that's funny first of all, there's already a show called Brotherhood, and I wanted to try to make it different. But at the same time, the setting is Atlanta. So I made the A capital to signify the, you know,
like
the setting A-town. In it, but
gotcha.
Right, exactly. But a lot of times we call each other our brothers. We're brother instead of brother. So
very true. Very true. Oh, that's sweet. Okay, so is there a second baby that you want to dab on? Because I want to also ask you about Peace Be Still.
Yes, we can talk about Peace Be Still. But the second baby I want to dab on real quick is The Lion's Den. I have to talk about that because it's my longest running web series that I have. We actually stopped after we did season 5, but we were getting viewers hitting me up, hitting some of the actors up, saying, hey, when can y'all bring this show back? We love The Lion's Den. And that show is it's special to me because it was my second show after college days. And it's special because, again, I met a lot of people that I still work with today, you know, that I met through The Lion's Den. So it's definitely monumental. And just to give a brief synopsis, it's about a family. They come together after the father is killed, but after the father is killed, there's a whole bunch of skeletons that come out of his closet, and they have to deal with that together as a family. And you see the dysfunction within the family. But now that we're in, because we wrapped season 9 last year, and we're about to get ready for production for season 10 after, you know, we shoot the movie later on in the summer. But this season 10 will be our final season, but we'll have hit 100 episodes of The Lion's Den once we finish.
What?
So,
it. You had stopped after 5. They were like, no, bring us more and more and more. And then you came back, and now you're about to wrap season 9. That is a testimony all to itself, is that you heard your audience. You listened to your fan base, your followers, and said, you know what?
Right.
Let me go ahead and add some more to it. And that you had the mental capacity to continue to feed that machine and allow that content to come forward. I want to remind our listeners, you're listening to OMG, the Omara Gale Radio Show. I'm your host, Omara Gale, and my special guest tonight is Carlton T. Clay. If you've got a question or you've got a comment, I know that a lot of the people that listen in are people that are entrepreneurs, that are also in the industry, that are in the ministry, creative aspect, as well as just creating content. The phone number to call in is 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue. Again, it's 347-324-5246. Press 1 to be entered into the queue, and we'll take your question and or comment on air live. So, Carlton, go ahead and explain or share a little bit about Peace Be Still, and then we're just going to go right into VPN Magazine so that we can give some time for people to know how they can purchase the magazine. And if you have any specials that are running and you have a link for that, we can post that on our site on our show page tonight. And if not, because I knew it's brand new, if you want to just give a caption that people can tune in, however you want to do it. So let's give some more of that time to VPN after you share a little bit about Peace Be Still, because we only wow, the hour, we're only 10 minutes left. Oh my gosh!
Right.
Oh, the time is running too short. It just goes so fast. You've got so much work that you've done. So go ahead and share a little bit about Peace Be Still, and we'll talk about VPN, and then I'll just have to have you come back on, or you can bypass Peace Be Still and talk about VPN, and we can talk about Peace Be Still when you come back. How about we do that?
Okay, I can do it real quick, but it's whatever you want to do. It's up to you.
Okay, so before you go to VPN Magazine, there's a caller on the line, so let's have them come in, and then I'll let you have the mic for the next 7 minutes. So caller, if the last four digits are 2505, 2505, you're on live with Mara Gale and Carlton Clay. Welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much. How's it going?
Hi.
Fantastic. Who's this?
This is Chantel.
Chantel, hi, beautiful.
Yes. Hello there.
the other question or comment you
want? What was that? I'm sorry, I didn't hear your question.
That's okay. He was saying, did you have a question or did you want to make a comment?
First of all, I want to say that The Lion's Den is my favorite VPN show. And I feel like because I started watching it from the beginning, I've grown with the characters, which I think is a really awesome way to share it. So I'm excited that it's going to 10 seasons. My question is, after doing 10 seasons of The Lion's Den, how are you going to top that with your upcoming series?
That's a wonderful
good
question.
Good job, Chantel. Way to stump it.
I don't know, because I don't foresee any of the other shows going that long, to be honest. So I'm not sure. That's something I'm about to do because I want to get better over time and I want to learn over time. So that's going to be one of my tests, is to definitely top 10 seasons of The Lion's Den. So we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you, Chantel.
Thank you for tuning in, Chantel. I hope that you tune back in and check us out another day and or catch some of our podcasts online. We appreciate your question and your feedback. So, Carl,
thank you.
Let's go. You're welcome. Let's go ahead and talk about VPN Magazine, because this is your newest baby. And you can share with them why you created it. I know there was an intent behind it, and I believe after reading the magazine, I believe that intent will definitely be fulfilled.
Awesome. Well, VPN Mag, basically it is an entertainment magazine that highlights different actors and actresses, people in the art, spoken word artists, musicians, rappers, singer-songwriters, and entrepreneurs, anybody that's making waves in the industry and in their field, we want to highlight them and be the beacon of hope for them. And at the same time, we want to give them tools that can help them, whether it be their spiritual life, their physical life, their professional life, whatever tools we can do and the limited span that we have, we want to make sure we use that. Use it to encourage and to edify. So that's the importance of the magazine to me. And the reason why I started it, honestly, funny story, shout out to Shamar Allen of Out of Luck Studios, because he's actually the publisher. He helped put it together. I was shooting one of my web series, and I wanted to do a calendar. I was thinking about different merchandise and things that I could do. So I wanted to do a calendar, and Shamar and one of my good friends, Nelson J. Davis, we were talking, and they was like, no, why don't you just do a magazine, because that's something you can continue ongoing. A calendar, nobody collects calendars anymore like that. And second of all, like, you can, again, the magazine will be something you can continue to do over time. And
yeah.
I thought about it. Okay, that's actually a better idea. I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I partnered with Shamar on it, and he has just definitely been my rock when it came to putting it together, and you know, just decided what I wanted to do, how do I want VPN Max to represent for my brand.
Yeah.
So that was important.
Yeah.
And you know, I feel like we're continuing to make strides. I want to give a shout out to one of my writers, Cassandra Walton, and my sister Carmen Clay. They're my writers, my two main writers on the magazine, my aunt Carlin, she's my editor. We all just come together and we just
family.
Make sure the magazine
family
continues to come out. It's all about family. It's all about family.
Oh, that's
it's definitely
so
all about
dope.
Family. So yeah. So that I'm
so
I'm
dope.
Really,
well,
I'm really,
I wanna
yes.
Go ahead. I was about to say, I want you to be sure to tell our listeners how they can get it, you know, what the website is, and we'll put a link up on our site as well so they can check you out. So let them know, because it just premiered. This is fresh off the press, family. This was yesterday was our launch.
Yes. Yes, we are on – this is actually – we're in our second year. I mean, yeah, we're in our second year of existence. I'm really excited. This is the second volume, first issue. It just came out. You guys can go to thevpntv.com to get a copy of the magazine. It's a beautiful issue. We got actor and producer Gary LaVar. He's a known internet actor, web series actor. He's very known. He's doing great things. Hear his story. Here's what he's talking about. We have tools on how to eat smarter. I know people want to, you know, try to lose that weight, do the New Year's resolution things. So we have tools on how you can eat smarter, written by Alondra Grace. And, of course, we have the lovely Miss Mara Gale with her tips how to break into the industry. So, I'm appreciative to you for doing that, because that was something I really wanted to do. And I was like, who can I get to actually break it down to where people can really understand it? And the Lord put you on my heart, and I said, well, let me reach out to her and see what we can do. So it worked out. It was a great article. It was awesome. And
thank
I'm really
you.
Excited. I really want you guys, everybody to get it. I want you guys to really get it and really understand. It's a good magazine. It's a really good one. I'm excited about what God
it really is.
Us this year.
And I'm going to be your mouthpiece for just a second. The layout is clear. It's clean. It's the content is relevant. And again, you know, the goal is to showcase different artists and entrepreneurs in the indie kind of industry, because they don't always get a bridge. It's kind of like the umbrella under which OMG is under, up to me. They're affording me an opportunity to reach an audience, and that's what you've done. You're highlighting people making waves in the entertainment and the business world. Again, the website for that is the V as in victory, P as in production, in TV. So thevpntv.com. And Carlton, why don't you go ahead and share with our listeners how they can reach out and follow you on social media. And I'll send out an email to you a little bit later, and we'll figure out when we can have you come back on to talk about Peace, Be Still, and The Oath. So share with our listeners some of your contact information so we can have them get in touch with you.
Awesome. Definitely. You guys, I'm on all social media platforms, minus Snapchat. Don't understand it. Never will. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Facebook. My name starts with a K, Carlton, K-A-R-L-T-O-N, last name Clay, C-L-A-Y. I haven't reached 5,000 yet, so definitely send me a friend request and I'll respond. You can go to on Twitter and Instagram, Carlton T. Clay on both. So follow me, you know, that's pretty much it. Pretty simple
website,
guy on social media.
And on your website, thevpntv.com, can they find your episodes as well as your social media information?
Glad you said that. Yes, you can find all my stuff on thevpntv.com. But if you want to go to our YouTube page, and please subscribe, we're trying to build our subscribers, go to youtube.com/victoryproduction, and you can subscribe and watch all our shows.
Subscribe, and don't forget to hit the bell so that you'll be alerted when he posts new shows. Okay, folks, that's our show. Carlton, a big, warm thank you for gracing the airwaves with me. You were so inspiring. You had so much to say, and you said it so well. So thank you for saying yes to come on to the show tonight.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome. And to all my listeners, you can catch me at Maura Gale. Of course, my website is mauragale.com. That's MauraGale.com. You can also catch me on Saints and Sinners' third episode. My new movie's coming out in March. I'll share more about that later. For now, I hope you have a beyond blessed day. I sure am. God bless you. May God keep you. And don't forget, share our message. Share our podcast. We're available on iTunes, Google Play, and the Stitcher app. God bless you. Have a great night.
Everyone likes to be heard and then listened to. So we want you to set your dial to OMG on Thursday at 7 o'clock p.m.